You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
Our words of wisdom today come from Isaiah and from John. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And from John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. In him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all may believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. I have the pleasure of introducing the Reverend Al Gephardt, our guest speaker for today.
Yeah, and it's been a couple of years since I've been here. It's nice to be back, and I'm certainly honored that David wanted to include me in his sabbatical. We'll all hate him for about 2 or 3 months, right? And welcome him back. No, we hope he's having a great time. You have the wonderful privilege of having someone each and every Sunday sit at the piano and improvise and play jazz in your worship. Not all congregations have that privilege. And this morning, I want to just take some time to think about how jazz is a fitting metaphor for the way God relates to us and we relate to God. In 1959, Dave Brubeck recorded Time Out, one of the best-selling jazz albums of all time. And on that album was his piece, Take Five. It broke through the accepted boundaries of jazz at that time by adding an extra beat to each measure. Now, we're acquainted with the waltz, right? One, two, three, one, two, three, one, two, three. And most of the hymns that we sing in church, the traditional hymns, are in 4-4 time, like, Our God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Four beats to a measure. But Take Five, as the title suggests, is in 5-4 meter. That's five beats to a measure. One, two, three, four, five. One, two, three, four, five. It's a bit off-putting. Not music to dance to, but certainly music to listen to, and most of all, to feel and respond. Patricia Farmer writes that Brubeck hurtled you through the door of what is into the new musical dimension of what can be. He stretched out jazz like it was warm taffy, not to the breaking point, but well beyond the known boundaries. She's speaking of the essence of creativity, improvising and creating in the moment what has never been before. Never. Brubeck says that he first encountered 5-4 time as a California boy growing up on a farm, listening to the beat of horses running. Then later in the 1950s, as a jazz ambassador for the U.S. State Department, he heard street vendors in Istanbul playing in a 9-8 rhythm, nine beats to the measure. He returned from that tour and with his saxophonist Paul Desmond created and recorded Take Five and another well-known Brubeck piece, Rondo a la Turque. in 9/8 rhythm. A few years ago, it was my privilege to hear Brubeck at the Scottsdale Arts Center, and it seems particularly apropos to share this story because he was there that evening playing jazz with his sons. In the middle of take five, of course they had to play take five, and probably played at every concert he ever gave. And in the middle of take five, Brubeck quit playing. And he simply rested his head on his arms over the piano and watched and listened to his sons as they improvised on take five. At the end of the concert, Brubeck shared what a wonderful privilege it was to play jazz with his children. And we can only imagine that joy. It's great for me to have my two children with me this morning. And then he added this very interesting thing, standing there before all of us. He said, "I heard music tonight that I have never heard before." Now, I sat there and I thought, how many times, Mr. Brubeck, have you played Take Five? How many times have you added, you know, your own creativity? Have you heard other people add your own creativity? Hundreds, maybe thousands of times. But he heard that night with his children music that he had never heard before. Most of us cannot improvise music like Brubeck. But what I want to say to all of us this morning is that in our own way, all of us, each of us, is an improviser. We play our own version of jazz every single day, in each new moment, in each encounter of our lives. We create something new out of the elements of the past and the call or lure of the future. Now, when in the 5th century BCE, Israel is faced with devastating loss and grief, their country has been overrun by the Babylonians and their leaders have been taken into exile. Their temple has been destroyed. It's a horrible time for the nation. And God speaks to the people through the words of a prophet. Don't stay focused on the former things and the loss of the old. I'm about to do a new thing. New possibilities even now are springing up around you. Do you perceive what's happening? It appears that God is less interested in what has been and more interested in what can be. And God continues to call each of us to new possibilities and invites us in freedom to improvise in the moment in response to God's lure. Our responsibility is to put ourselves in spaces and to engage in practices where we can hear, perceive, and discern this call, and then to join with others in making that vision a reality, which I think is what you're really about here. I was in Claremont a week ago taking a class entitled The Political Theology of the Earth. The professor challenged us to be mindful of the realities related to changing climates, diminishing glaciers, increasing number of animal extinctions. We're dealing with more and more refugees at our borders, in part because the earth has changed in their countries, and they are no longer able, without water, to grow crops necessary for survival. And so they're either leaving with their families or someone's going off to attempt a new possibility just to live. In the class, we were invited to listen to that still small voice deep within our own lives, calling us in some way to respond to this issue, this reality, and to form coalitions across geographic, religious, and political lines in order to bring about change leading to greater planetary health. Science now tells us that we live in a jazz universe. Moment by moment, at every level, improvisation is going on. We wouldn't have evolved to where we are today without this quantum-level jazz. Made from the elements of a dying star, Homo sapiens appeared on this Earth about 200,000 years ago, and since then we have continued to change and evolve to the extent that we are not really human beings. It's more apropos to refer to ourselves as human becomings. We now know that the new emerges not only by chance mutation and survival, as it was once thought, but cells themselves make elemental choices that affect the direction of their own development, their own evolution. Over the past 13.7 billion years, creation has been on a purposeful journey, creating and self-organizing toward ever-increasing complexity. String theory is a perspective of some physicists that thinks that the most fundamental realities of our universe are not tiny bits of matter, but vibrating strings of interrelating energies. They call this sound the music of the universe. Maybe the hills really are alive with the sound of music. Science can't tell us where value and purpose come from, only that the evidence points to the fact that it's there. Seeing how fine-tuned our universe really is, increasing numbers of scientists are led to consider the reality of a cosmic intelligence hidden in the ongoing processes of creation. Scientist and philosopher Irvin Laszlo writes, "We are clusters of vibration informed by the intelligence of the cosmos. We are harmonies created by the plucking of a cosmic harp." Or perhaps the universe is a giant jazz combo interacting and improvising to a divine lead. Now, I wonder if you've ever thought that Jesus played jazz. He did, I think, in a very similar way that you and I do. Every encounter was novel and creative. Every conversation, a riff. Drawing on the wisdom of the past, he offered a new perspective in the context of the present moment and the people that he encountered. He sought to express divine love, and as he did, he improvised in the moment and challenged others to take new steps of personal transformation. He dreamed of a world where everyone belonged, where bodies, minds, and spirits are healthy and whole. His was the music, as John Coltrane might imagine it, of a love supreme. "You can't put new wine in old wineskins," Jesus said. "The old containers can't contain the new. Though older vintages may have been good in their time, the new wine bursts open the old wineskins." So you better do something about the new wine. So you and I must not get stuck in old patterns. When we hear the call of the Spirit to transforming love, we must be willing and able to respond, perhaps in a new key or a strange 5/4 meter. What the psalmist referred to when he wrote, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth." The music Jesus played was the music of compassion and healing, of justice and inclusive hospitality. It is, Jesus said, like a prodigal father who gives in to his son's request for inheritance, which is really unusual since the father is still living, and then frees his son to leave home only to go off to a strange land and spend the inheritance foolishly and recklessly until nothing is left. Tradition would guide the father to punish, even reject his son. But in Jesus' story, when the father sees his son in the distance coming back, he chooses to go against tradition. Instead, in that moment, he improvises love. And running ungracefully through the village, you can imagine an old man lifting his robe, running disgracefully to embrace and welcome his son back. And then throws a party to celebrate the return. Where does the music of that love come from? Is there a call, a lure, a nudge in the depths of each one of us that invites us in the moments of our lives to consider new and different possibilities, leading perhaps to a reconciliation of a broken relationship or to a new way of thinking about an issue that affects the well-being of other people? Or to an engagement in active listening across lines of diversity and difference, perhaps as we meet people of other faith traditions. The local Methodist conference is meeting this weekend, right? You know that. To explore how they will respond to the recent decision at the national level not to affirm, not to fully include LGBTQ persons in the total life of the church. They're seeking to create something new out of the deep call of love that they are hearing, that their church community has never heard before. The church, too, is a jazz combo struggling to improvise a new way of being together. Now, to be sure, some were transformed as they heard Jesus play his music and accepted his invitation to join the band. Others were not able to let go of the past, not able to take the risk that playing music with him entailed. Some even thought it better to get rid of him than allowing his love supreme to affect too many people. Creativity is built into our DNA. We improvise, think of this, every time we engage in a conversation. We put together words in ever new ways. So we create in conversations, we create when we put together a bouquet of flowers or move beyond a dinner recipe to make something a little different. We create on the soccer field as we imagine a possible goal strategy. Some create on computers as they put together new algorithms that help people live better and work more effectively. Others create when they help people with their travel plans, encouraging them to explore new places and enjoy new experiences. You and I create together as we seek to discern God's vision for our community, join hands to resist what is unjust and intolerant, and to build a beloved community, as Martin Luther King envisioned. We seek to find a way when it seems there is no way, a stream in the midst of the desert, a path out in the wilderness. Love is an ongoing creative improvisation, opening yourself to someone else in a vulnerable and risky way, not knowing exactly where it's going to take you. We improvise as we parent our children, seeking to respond to their need in the moment with the best love we have to offer. You and I know that we can't coerce or force a response. We simply reach out vulnerably, even at times sacrificially, with no guarantee of anything in return. Love can be painful, and we can pay an immense price, as the death of Jesus shows us. Isn't this the way God loves each of us? Moment by moment, taking into God's heart our situation, our needs, our pains, our mistakes, our sins, and calling us not to repeat the past, but to an improvisation of something new, new life, new possibilities, new opportunities, resurrection. We are being transformed moment by moment as we respond to God's whisper and take steps towards God's vision for us. So let me conclude by inviting us to imagine that we're all together one Saturday evening down at the Nash in Phoenix. Very popular jazz hangout. Steve is there, joined by a saxophonist, a drummer, and a bass player. And they're playing a jazz arrangement of a vocal standard. What is this thing called love? They play as a group, and then everyone in time contributes his or her own solo. We notice how much each is aware of the others. They listen and they seek to blend together. They play off of one another, responding to what someone else has just played, adding their own creative contribution. They are an interrelated, interconnected community, each improvising on that primary theme. The solo sax player closes her eyes, appearing to reach deep within herself, listening to the whispers of her own soul. She expresses in the moment what she's feeling, calling on riffs she already knows, but improvising them in a way she feels best fits the flow of the music in the moment, and the music impresses you as particularly honest and authentic. The audience, too, has an influencing role. The man in the front row moving his body to the rhythm, obviously into the swing of the music. The woman sitting off to the right whose eyes are closed as is off in another world. The musicians notice, and it, too, affects their response. As you listen to the group's interpretation, you find yourself getting lost in the music. The beauty and creativity leads you, too, to reflect on that question posed by the title, "What is this thing called love?" And you leave the Nash that evening feeling renewed and empowered, like you've had a moment with God. Jazz speaks in a profound way about how each of us experiences God. Together, we are in a combo relationship with God and an interconnecting relationship with each other and with the rest of creation. We listen for God's lead and we make our own contribution. The primary tune we hear in the depths of our being is all about love. It is a tune present in the soul of every human being, the light that enlightens everyone. Though heard by each to a varying degree, our job is to discern its beat, its melody, and its harmony, and to join with others like Brubeck to to creatively improvise the new song that God is calling us to in the moment. For in the end, life isn't just about me. It's about us, others, and the whole creation. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information on our faith community or to support this outreach with a donation, be sure to visit us online at www.reachtouchteach.com.